Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Folks, a COVID-19 outbreak unfolded at the conference held by U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, despite their attendees all being vaccinated. About 1,800 CDC staffers and others gathered in April for a conference focused on epidemiological investigations and strategies. On the last day of the conference, several people notified organizers they tested positive for COVID. The CDC and the Georgia Department of Public Health surveyed the attendees to determine how many had tested positive. Quote, the goal was to learn more about transmission that occurred and add to our understanding as we transition to the next phase of COVID-19 surveillance and response, the CDC said. About 80% of the attendees filled out the survey. Among those, 181 said they tested positive for COVID-19. Pretty much all of the respondents, 99.4%, had received at least one COVID-19 vaccine shot. About 360 people didn't respond to the survey, so the actual outbreak could have been larger. You know, has anyone apologized for forcing this shot on our military and medical people and others? Not reported yet is the huge number of people seriously injured or dying from the shot. It's time for accountability. Joining me now at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. And Skip, it's June. You got to give us an update on mushrooms, bro.
Well, Colonel, the update on mushrooms is they have moved outside my realm of control. The mushrooms, they migrate about 100 miles north every week. So I would put them right about northern Canada, Alaska, maybe up in the Yukon. But they're out of my reach, Colonel. They are safe for another year.
When they migrate, do they migrate as individuals or in herds?
Well, they're very social, very, very social animals. They stay in herds, you know, for protection, but they're very quiet, so you probably won't see them, and they only migrate at night.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I heard that from you. Here's what I have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss being a racist. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Next, former Director of National Intelligence Rick Grinnell will join us to discuss some of our nation's biggest issues. Then Marine vet Manny Vega will discuss injuries and deaths during training. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join a conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. And of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, bro.
Well, Colonel, the East Turkestan government in exile strongly condemned Tesla CEO Elon Musk's recent meeting with Chinese Foreign Minister Qin Yang. Tesla's expansion in China, its presence in East Turkestan, and its opposition to decoupling raises alarms, especially considering the ongoing Uyghur genocide and Uyghur slave forced labor in Tesla's supply chains. Through their business relations with the Chinese, Tesla is complicit in China's ongoing genocide of Uyghurs and other Turkic peoples. Recent investments of over $2 billion in those lithium mines and refineries, including those backed by contemporary Amperex Technology Company Limited, Tesla's main supplier, are cementing the region's position as the leading significant lithium producer despite an ongoing campaign of genocide and slave and forced labor. The East Turkestan government in exile called on Elon Musk and Tesla to end their complicity in the ongoing Uyghur genocide in East Turkestan and demonstrate a commitment to social responsibility and human dignity.
Wow. It's clear that the Chinese government and its leaders are very hostile to our nation and our evil people. I've always been a strong admirer of Elon Musk, but he needs to stop supporting this evil nation.
And last month, General Michael Eric Kurilla, commander of U.S. Central Command, met with regional partners from the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Kuwait, Qatar, Israel, and Jordan. The key to stability in the Central Command region is ironclad relationships and the continued building of interoperability with our partners, said Kurilla.
These visits are critical, and the information I learned firsthand is invaluable. Meeting with each of our partners, discussing shared opportunities and shared concerns, allows us to deepen our ties and brings home the importance of working together to improve regional security.
Well, I'm glad the General is making these visits and working on relationships, but many of those nations, including especially Saudi Arabia, who just cut oil production again, are tilting away from us towards China.
And the head of a facility that carries out so-called gender-affirming care has published a study confirming that transgender surgeries do not improve mental health and make people feel lonelier than those who avoided surgical intervention altogether. The level of life satisfaction in transgender people was not increased in transgender people who had undergone gender-affirming surgery as compared to those who were unoperated, says a study published in BMC Public Health, a peer-reviewed scientific journal. Our data indicate that transgender and gender-diverse people who have undergone gender reassignment surgery feel lonelier than transgender-identified people who have not elected to have surgery, finds a separate study.
And our military is offering this surgery plus recovery time to anyone who wants it. And it clearly does not produce people who are emotionally ready to give their lives for our nation. This needs to stop.
A Defense Department-wide prohibition on drag shows on military bases has resulted in the cancellation of at least two events that were planned for Pride Month and previously approved by base officials. Shows at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada and Ramstein Air Base in Germany scheduled for this month were canceled. The cancellations were part of a direction from Defense Secretary Austin that drag shows, which have become a target of people with Christian values, not be hosted on bases. The show at Nellis drew intense criticism from GOP politicians in recent weeks, including a letter Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida sent to Austin calling the event an outright attack on children. While a drag event at Ramstein last year faced similar attacks, the event this year had flown under the radar, and the base's LGBT community had been eagerly anticipating a celebratory Pride Month.
People who are LGBT are free in this country to do their thing, but not to push it on others. And they're not free to do their thing on the military bases where the people assigned there have to be around them.
How long will it take for our Army's 5th Corps to deploy a brigade to Eastern Europe and begin conducting operations alongside NATO allies? Less than a week. That was demonstrated by Operation Griffin Shock, a new exercise that took place in Poland over 2.5 weeks in May. Poland played host to a scenario in which a battalion was rapidly expanded by Allied units to a brigade, involving over 3,000 soldiers from 8 U.S. units and 4 other NATO countries, Poland, Romania, Croatia, and the U.K., the exercise gave soldiers and officers at all levels experience building up forces swiftly and transitioning to combat. The ability to generate timely power in Europe is crucial to NATO's defense of member states as concern over Russian aggression grows on the continent, especially in the east. The exercise showcases NATO capabilities amid Russia's 2 recent invasions of Ukraine and its increasing commitment of troops in Belarus, which have put neighboring countries on high alert.
It's very good that we're conducting these exercises with our allies in Europe. Russia is a threat to every country in Europe.
And the general who oversees the National Guard vowed that another leak, like the recent massive intelligence breach allegedly carried out by Massachusetts Guardsman Jack Teixeira, will never happen again. National Guard Bureau Chief General Daniel Hokanson said, "This one individual was an individual action and not indicative of the entire system. But we are looking at safeguards that we can put in place that would prevent any individual in the future from ever being able to do this," unquote. The leaker's superiors repeatedly warned him about mishandling classified information before he was arrested, but still allowed him access to those documents. Hokanson said he found them extremely concerning and suggested a criminal investigation into the leak is also examining the accused airman's chain of command.
I don't know how he can guarantee this, but I sure would like to see criminal charges considered against his chain of command. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with former DNI Rick Grinnell. At ease, troops, take a break.
Fresh, flash, frozen, from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. A man in Florida thought it was a good idea to show his pistol to a friend while inside his church. He fired the gun without intending to, and both he and his wife were taken to the hospital with wounds to the hand and the stomach. Sometimes people think carrying a gun is a cool novelty, but guard against this temptation. Only draw your firearm when you need to for self-defense. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Troops, I'm going to get into a very sensitive issue now. You all know that I served 22 years in the Army, and my son just retired as a police officer. We were both involved in putting our lives on the line to protect our citizens, and one of the biggest issues in our career fields, as well as others, is race. For the record, I'm white. Well, sort of. My mother was 99% Sephardic Jew. That's the group of Jews that fled from Israel and ended up in and around Spain. My dad was a mix of English and Irish. Given how much hatred is directed at Jews here and around the world, maybe I qualify as an amused minority. By the way, did you know that the most overrepresented victims of hate crimes are whites of Jewish background? But nobody really cares about that. Two of my three sisters married black guys and had kids. Both husbands died of natural causes. I know and love my nieces and nephews and their kids. I've been called a racist, a term that's never defined. It likely means I hate all blacks, but I love my black nieces and nephews, not to mention other black friends. So exactly what is a racist or racism? Nobody really knows or cares because people who use those words are just directing hate towards others, not of their race. Okay, to the point. Earlier this year, an unarmed African-American, Tyre Nichols, was beaten to death by five black Memphis police officers. All five were charged with murder, and all five belonged to a special crime unit. So the victim and the cops and even the police chief were all black. Indeed, in Memphis, 60% of the police force is black. This in a city that's a population that's about 25% white. Further, the special crime unit that the officers were in was created in response to citizen requests to stop the increasing crime in mostly black neighborhoods. Well, that unit's now disbanded. In my mind, those police were clearly wrong on what they did. Now, the normal community response to things like this is to blame poor police training, poor leadership, poor oversight, and lower entrance standards, all of which were present. That didn't happen. No sooner was the beating and death announced than the accusations of systemic racism hit the surface. Indeed, a former Obama administration official interviewed on CNN said that the black police oppressors were acting out white racism. It seems that, to some people, anytime anyone does anything bad, the problem is white racism. Where's the logic here? College campuses are permitting and encouraging racially segregated student housing. Think about this. Separate but equal housing? The Civil Rights Act of 1964 ended separate but equal anything, especially schools, based on race. And a recent survey showed that some 170 colleges surveyed, 42% provided racially segregated residences, 46% offered racially segregated orientation programs, and 72% hosted racially segregated graduation ceremonies. Racists will say that white males exhibit white rage. Yet whites commit suicide at twice their demographics and more than twice as frequently as blacks or Latinos. Whites were also killed in combat in Iraq and Afghanistan, at least twice their numbers in the nation's population. And whites commit violent crimes against those of another race at rates much below average. So my point is not that whites are good guys compared to other races. Think about this. Our nation is the only successful multiracial constitutional republic in history. And the world is one heck of a mess, as we've often discussed on this show. So how are we going to survive as a nation if we don't think of ourselves as a nation full of citizens who love our nation? And national cohesion can only happen when citizens subordinate their tribal interests to a common culture. You know, option two is that we become a nation of tribes and fall apart. Look at Afghanistan. It's always been a region of tribes. They may be about the same racially, but they don't like or trust each other. Is that what we want to be like? In my years in our Army, we were multiracial and we all respected and worked together. Yes, there was occasional strife, but nothing that couldn't be worked out. In both training and combat, I led privates and sergeants and lieutenants of all races and was led by officers of all races. My police officer son served with other officers of all races and genders, and they performed well. They thought of themselves as a team so they could do their job of protecting we citizens, and I'm grateful for that. Would you like to join a military or police where promotions were based on anything other than ability and performance? Indeed, would you want to join any kind of business or organization that rated anything higher than ability and performance? I wouldn't. Do we still have some racial issues to deal with in our nation? Yes. Our military's come a long way since President Truman desegregated us some 50 years ago, something we'll be discussing in a future show. And the 1964 Civil Rights Act did the same thing for the rest of our nation. We have come a long way since then, and yes, there's more we must do. But the nonstop playing of the race card can destroy our nation, not help us in any way. We need to stand together as Americans as we work to make our nation better, not engaging in name-calling, especially since that never accomplishes anything positive. I've often said that the easiest way to spot a racist is to find someone who regularly calls others racist. I've occasionally asked someone who called me or someone else a racist, what does that mean? If it means that I hate or think lesser of all members of a race, on what basis can you logically come to that conclusion about me? But name calling is not about logic or facts. It's about emotion, nothing more. We live in the most wealthy and free nation in the world. Let's return to becoming a nation under God and focus on defending and protecting this wonderful nation that God has given us. Let's all be proud Americans. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Last week, Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States conducted a military drill, which included the deployment of an artificial intelligence-controlled swarm of drones that detected and tracked military targets in a real-time representative environment. This drone swarm was able to display some pretty impressive capabilities, but it raised significant questions about control. Both the main AI that operates the swarm and the data that the swarm absorbs and disseminates. The use of artificial intelligence is supposed to decrease the errors. The task of remote controlling a swarm of drones is very complex. And in order to minimize errors, a combination of AI and remote control is needed. However, if the artificial intelligence is programmed well in advance, the swarm may be able to execute its tasks without the need for remote controlling it by humans. Using artificial intelligence, like in the drill, could potentially bring fast response to changing situations during a conflict and be able to process many, many targets quickly. This is something that all major militaries are trying to do, and some countries have already explored, including Israel, but also rivals such as China. The focus of AI, or artificial intelligence, in drone technology so far has remained only strategic, and there's no indications that anyone's looking to give AI control of weapons or combat vehicles. In fact, the public's reaction to such a choice was made very clear last week, with a report that the Air Force had run a simulation in which the AI drone allegedly tried to kill its operator and a communication tower because it deemed them as obstacles to fulfilling its mission. The Air Force did clarify that they did not actually hand over control of a weapon to artificial intelligence, and no one actually died or was harmed during the test. But it was still a prime example that we're not ready to hand over weapons decisions to computers, at least not yet. So the main issue right now for organizations like NATO is who will control the AI and the incoming data, as there's enormous pressure to find a common operation platform to keep AI-powered drones interoperable between allies. Just like with classic joint and coalition operations, there will need to be the ability to control and deconflict drone swarms. But you know, if they're planned and conducted properly, the deployment of a drone swarm really should not be any more challenging than any other type of military activity. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss our nation's challenges with former Director of National Intelligence Rick Grinnell. Then we'll talk with Marine vet Manny Vega about military training deaths. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break, do another 50, then stand at ease.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. We bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. So it's an honor to welcome back to the show a friend and a patriot who has served our nation in a number of ways. Maybe the most notable way was he was on the staff of the ambassador to the United Nations, and then later on as the ambassador to Germany, and then as the acting director of national intelligence. So he knows what serving our nation is about. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Denny, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Rick, when you were ambassador to Germany, you also had some responsibilities in the Middle East, didn't you?
Well, I had a presidential envoy appointment for Kosovo, Serbia. So I did a little work in the Balkans. And then I also was helping my friend Jared Kushner on the Abraham Accords, and we certainly delivered Kosovo for that. And I did whatever the president asked me to do.
You know, that's sort of what you got hired to do, right?
Yeah. It's actually one of the most thrilling things is when you are within the sphere of confidence of the president, and especially somebody like President Trump. He doesn't really think of you as just what your job description says. He thinks, okay, you're on the team, so you got to do anything and everything. And he's got an entrepreneurial spirit like that. And so he would ask me to do a lot of different types of things, and it was always an honor.
I believe that. And as the acting director of national intelligence, I'm sure you saw a lot of things that, well, threats to our nation. I presume that was one of the major focuses, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was threats. It was lots of security issues, intelligence gathering, trying to get the intel gathering system right, trying to figure out what public policy officials need. You know, I spent decades as a U.S. official who received intelligence briefings. And so it was one of the things I have to say, Denny, that when I was appointed acting director of national intelligence by President Trump, you know, the collective media in Washington just immediately attacked and said, oh, he's never worked at an intel agency, so therefore he is not qualified. And I immediately thought, where are the voices of reason here? Where are the people that say, wait a minute, as a consumer of intelligence for decades, it seems to me that every once in a while, instead of just putting someone who knows the system of gathering intelligence, you should put a consumer of intelligence in there to fix the system. Who better to know what is needed, what is relevant and useful to public policy officials than someone who is an expert at consuming it? And I'll give you an example. Many times when I was a U.S. official, whether at the UN or working in the Balkans or in Germany, I would get briefed on situations and I would say to the briefer, you know, this is old news, or this isn't accurate, or this is things that I've read in the newspaper. So it's not really classified information. This is open sourced information. And I just think that it's important that our intelligence gathering systems are constantly asking themselves what's relevant and what's useful, because intelligence is only designed to help public policy officials keep the United States safe.
Yes, sir. I could not agree with you more. When you only let the experts run anything and you don't bring the consumers in, you're going to have confusion. Sort of in line of that, now that the Durham report is out and it's clear that the FBI and others were clearly and perhaps intentionally off base in attempting to prove Russian collusion with President Trump's election, we now know we have a huge problem there. What in the world can we do about that?
Well, look, I think we first have to start from the leaders of the intelligence community need to admit that they've got a credibility problem. And I don't see Avril Haines, who's the director of national intelligence, doing that. I think it's really important that she and Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, recognize that the American public doesn't trust him. The American public thinks that they've manipulated intelligence because we've seen the evidence. They've used it for political purposes. And the Durham report is scary in that it really says what we all knew for years, that intelligence was being manipulated for partisan political gain. And what's frustrating about the Durham report is that it's too little too late. It should have come out a long time ago. I don't know what took so long. It's outrageous that it took so long. And when it first came out, I called President Trump and we spoke. And, you know, my comment to him was justice delayed is justice denied. We should have had this report out saying that the Russian collusion narrative was a hoax a long time ago. But we still got people like Adam Schiff. I live in California and he's running for the U.S. Senate. And every day he talks about, you know, how Donald Trump or MAGA Republicans are somehow security threats. And here's an individual who lied to the American people constantly, and he's still not coming clean.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing our nation's challenges with former DNI director Rick Grinnell. Rick, I think that President Trump was one of the best presidents our nation has ever had. Yes, I voted for him twice. And yes, I wish he'd stop name calling. But he did a great job, if you look at the results. Yet there seems to be no ending to prosecutors who want to charge him with things. Things that Democratic politicians have done frequently with no consequences. Is this just more of the same?
Look, I think it's pretty obvious to everyone. The evidence is clear that these insiders in Washington, D.C. are going to do anything they can to keep Donald Trump, the outsider, away. They didn't like it when he was there. He was changing the system and questioning the system constantly. He didn't participate in their phony games, and he was just ignoring the rules. And for them, you know, it was a fire in the hole. Remember, they have this big black tie event every year, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And it's a time where I've been many a times to this dinner, and you know, it's the White House correspondents come together and they all yuck it up. and pretend like they're super important. And when Donald Trump was like, you know, I'm not interested in going to this. I think it's a phony system. I think a lot of you journalists are biased and all voting for the Democrats. They were aghast that someone would not come to their black tie event. But I say to people all the time, you have to remember that in Washington, D.C., this is a behemoth city that is growing. It wasn't what the forefathers thought. Thomas Jefferson didn't believe that Washington, D.C. should be this huge city that's growing constantly. He talked about how you go to Washington, you serve for a little bit, and then you leave and you go home. The assumption was that Washington, D.C. wasn't your home. And yet now we have this whole political class of journalists, lobbyists, political types, bureaucrats who have spent decades in Washington. They all go to church together. Their kids go to school together. They shop together. They live in the same cities. They now have their own sports teams. This is a city unto itself that is competing with other cities in the United States. And that is not how it was designed to be. It was supposed to be a temporary place where people came together to make decisions for the rest of America. And so I'm very uncomfortable with how this city has developed into a system to control the rest of us. And, you know, we affectionately call it the swamp. But the swamp is kind of an accurate portrayal of a place where you go and it's stinky and there's no fresh water coming in. It's all stale. And the ideas and the water and the atmosphere is stale. And that's exactly what Washington, D.C. is. And that's why they really don't want President Trump coming back. They will do anything. They will say anything and they will manipulate the powers of government to keep him away.
And I think you're talking about both parties.
Well, look, I think it's really true that you don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat to love Washington, D.C. and to be a part of the system.
Okay. There's more to discuss about our nation's issues, and Rick will stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. They want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, some days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
This hour of Front Lines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. And we're continuing our conversation with Ambassador Rick Grinnell about our nation's challenges. Rick, when I was teaching American government in college, I often referred to Washington, D.C. as a swamp. You could be the head of Republicans, and I could be the head of the Democrats, and I'd call you names and you call me names. But we made sure that the power remained between us so that one of us was always in power. And we just need to thin things out down there and have people come in and not spend their lives there. That's what I heard you say at the end of this thing. Did I read you right?
Yeah. You know, something funny, Denny, is I told President Trump, because I believe he's going to come back as president. He's for sure getting the nomination. You know, that's clear. He's way up and his base isn't going anywhere. So all these other people running, I think, are running to be vice president or in the cabinet. But the reality is that when President Trump comes back, I told him that he should look at the resumes when he's hiring people, and anyone who has a Washington, D.C. address on their resume, you should throw it in the trash. There are plenty of people outside of D.C. who have a different perspective that could come in and work for President Trump. We have enough people with Washington, D.C. perspective. We need more people with Iowa and Arizona and Georgia and Michigan perspectives.
Yes, sir. Let's go to Western Europe. Russia invaded Ukraine over a year ago. The war's ongoing. We sure can't keep pouring money and stuff into Ukraine. The most wealthy nation in Europe is West Germany, and they're doing very little. Where does this go?
Well, you know, I've been seeing NATO Secretary General and others talk about expanding NATO to include Ukraine. And my reaction is this. I just don't think we should be expanding the umbrella, the safety umbrella of NATO, until every single country that's a member of NATO is paying their fair share. Why are we going to extend the responsibility when the current team is not pulling their own weight? They're not meeting their obligations. This is a burden on the American taxpayer. And the more we let people in who are not paying their fair share, the more the American worker has to work even harder, and we're going to go even further in debt. And I just don't think that's fair. The second point in the Ukraine war is that, you know, we all want to be very clear that Russia's a problem and we don't want Putin to win. I am constantly looking for ways, though, to separate the Russian people from the Russian government, because I don't believe that the Russian people do support in overwhelming numbers like it shows. They don't support Putin like this. They're just afraid. And so I want to always give space between the Russian people and the Russian government. Putin is a thug, and he is somebody who clearly launched this war of aggression just because he wanted to bring back the glory days of the Soviet Empire. And his expansionist mentality, I think, has got to be stopped. But at the same time, I'm a diplomat. And I think the Pentagon's doing a pretty good job of supplying arms and money. But what I don't see is a voice for peace and diplomacy. I don't see our Secretary of State trying to find a solution, an off-ramp. And it's not sustainable just to keep funding a war and talking about military equipment and money for more war when you don't have tough diplomats trying to solve this. And I love President Trump when he got asked on CNN about this. And he said, look, my goal is to get the killing to stop. And that's exactly what a peaceful diplomat does. Remember, President Trump has not caused any new wars. He hasn't launched any new wars. And this is an important point, because I think the American taxpayer, our national debt, are all screaming for better accountability and a greater sense of world peace.
Yes, sir. We need to be taking the lead in getting Russia and Ukraine to negotiate. This just can't go on. And I appreciate that. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom, talking with former DNI Rick Grinnell. Okay, China. How do we deal with China, both China that's already in with controls in the United States and in the Western Pacific on their turf? China's a huge threat.
Yeah, if Russia's a problem, China's a crisis. And we have to have clear eyes about who they are. It's a communist government who is aggressive about making sure that their communist ways are followed. And so we need to be very clear about their expansionist mentality. You know, China is duplicitous. It's certainly duplicitous at the World Trade Organization. When we let them into the WTO 20 plus years ago, we thought maybe that they would change their ways and become more about human rights and capitalism and the rule of law, but they haven't. It's gotten worse. So I'm a big believer that we should remove China from the WTO. I don't believe that engagement with China by letting them into the WTO worked. But the reality is that, you know, they're manipulating the tariffs on us and manipulating currencies. We've got to be much more aggressive with dealing with them.
Yeah, for sure. The things that they're controlling in the United States, and the fact that they produce a lot of the rare earth metals and stuff that are needed for a lot of the electric cars and stuff like that that's going on, that's got to be part of how we look at moving forward towards reducing pollution. If you know, I think that's mostly baloney, but there's nothing wrong with wanting to be cleaner. But we just can't buy this stop global warming and electric cars and stuff as a policy now. Maybe at some point in the future when technology will permit that. But China's got a huge bite on us there, doesn't it?
Well, look, I think when you take fossil fuels versus what's needed in mining for the electric vehicles, you're still mining from the earth. And I think that we need to recognize that whether it's lithium or cobalt or whatever is needed for batteries, there's different types of batteries, but whatever is needed is still being mined from the earth and in places that are way less cognizant of labor laws, environmental laws. And so we can't put our head in the sand and just think because we're not mining in the United States or because we're not drilling fossil fuels in the United States, that somehow our batteries in our cars or our engines are better off or cleaner just simply because the United States isn't doing it. I think Mother Earth laughs at us if you don't take it from her armpit, but you take it from her elbow. You're still taking from Mother Earth. And the idea that somehow if we can't see it, then we're cleaner is a ridiculous argument, and we need to be upfront. The little hands, child labor that is mining cobalt and lithium and other rare metals around the earth is really troubling when you look at the details. And so I'm somebody who believes in all of the above solutions to make sure that our environment is clean. No one wants dirty air, dirty water. But we've got to be able to balance it with jobs and being able to provide for our families. And so I like the idea of wind power and solar, but you can't run manufacturing plants on just that. You need to have liquid natural gas. We need to bring back nuclear energy. We need a mix. And if anything that we've learned from Chancellor Merkel's disastrous tenure in Germany, it was that her decisions on energy supply really put the Germans in a very precarious situation.
Yes, sir. And there's many more topics we can go on. I think one thing, and that's that I think our world is not getting ready to fall off the edge of the world. Somebody pointed out to me that here's a picture of the Statue of Liberty when it was put in almost 200 years ago. And here's a picture of it today, and it's not underwater now. The global warming thing does not seem to be holding water. We've only got a minute. Any thoughts on that?
Well, look, I would just go back to the idea that we as humans all want clean air, clean water. It's all about the technology that is used to clean the air and water and to not just say that we have to conserve or go without. We have to be able to recognize that there are things we can do through technology that help the situation. I mean, desalination is one thing. California is on the ocean, and yet we can't dam because of the environmental concerns of the activists in California. But meanwhile, you know, Gavin Newsom is trying to tell us to take faster showers and not water our lawn. So we've got brown lawns and unclean people when we should be flush with water because we're living on the ocean. So I just am all for technology to really help us along. And by the way, other countries are doing it, so it's not that far removed from reality and common sense.
Rick, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your nonstop service to our nation. I'm proud to call you a friend and fellow patriot. God bless you, bro.
All the best. Thanks, Denny.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing our southern border and the significant number of injuries our troops are experiencing during training. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones. Grab some protein. Rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.